Second Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1, beginning verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard, and were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter is aging, he's pretty old, and he visualizes that the day is near where he is going to die. And it's going to be a cruel death. But he's going to leave this world, and he's looking forward to it. He has been a hardened soldier. He has been fighting for the Lord. He is not the same Peter that denied the Lord three times. He's not the same Peter that says, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" And he's not the same Peter that says, "Oh, not so, Lord. You can't go to Jerusalem. No way." He is hardened. He is experienced. And he wants to correct the heresies that are threatening the church, the Judaizers, the false teachers that are coming into the churches of God, the local assemblies, and trying to poison the believers. Now, even though the believers, once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ truly as your personal Savior and Lord, you have life eternal, and that's done, that's finished. You have it. You can never lose. But you can lose your testimony. And once you lose your testimony, your effectiveness as a Christian diminishes and disappears. You're not a good testimony anymore to other people. And other people are going to say, "Oh, if that man is a Christian, I don't want to have any part of it." And this is what was happening in the churches. But Peter, before he attacks the heresies, before he attacks the Judaizers, the false teachers, he wants to make sure that the foundation is strong. One is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The surety of his person, God manifest in the flesh. God, eternally God, had no beginning and no ending, becoming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a human being, God incarnate in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. As man, he had a beginning when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He wants to make sure that we accept the certainty of the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man, fully God and man, and he is able to redeem through his death on the cross. So he not only goes ahead and says that who Christ is, the certainty of him, but also he is the end that we are called to reach. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're trying for the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we made for? What are we created for? We were created in God's image. Of course, that image has been marred, but we still have God's image in us. That's why we're morally responsible to God. He created us. He owns us. And Peter wants to make sure that we realize who the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And the other thing that he wants us to realize is his word, that God's word. That the word that we read, that we read this morning, and we made comments on the word of God, is the word of God itself. So first of all, here he basically goes and talks about his own experience about the Lord Jesus Christ. His personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his personal, Peter's personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ground of his assurance, because he's an eyewitness of what he has seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has heard, and that is the word of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. I touched on that this morning. And this is what Peter is talking about. He's an eyewitness and ear witness of what Christ is and who he is. And Peter rests on what he himself has seen and heard. It's unshakable. He says, I heard. I was there. I was there on the Holy Mount with the Lord. And I knew what happened. I saw what happened. And I heard. So what happened on the Mount? What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration as the Lord drew Peter, James, and John unto him and went, it's a high mountain, the two mountains that real godly people disagree upon whether it was Tabor or whether it was Hermon. Dr. Rawls thinks it's Tabor, but it doesn't matter. But he takes these three disciples with him, apostles with him, and there Peter, James, and John had the majestic initiation into the very holiest mysteries of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John, they were witnesses. Now, in the Bible, that makes a complete set of witnesses. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So the completeness, witnessing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been eyewitness of his majesty. They saw his majesty. They saw that human being, the Lord Jesus Christ as a human being, yet fully God. They saw him transfigured. They saw him change. And they saw glory and majesty come on that body. The very splendor of divine glory flashing through his human flesh. The very person that they had seen and been with for a long time as just a mere human being now, they see the splendor of divine glory right coming right through his human flesh. And also they had seen two saints that were long, long ago departed, and that was Moses and Elijah. And in Luke's account of the Transfiguration, I was going to read it to you, but for the sake of time, I would just relate what happened. In Luke's account, there was Moses and there was Elijah, and as I mentioned, Moses, of course, was the greatest liberator, emancipator in the Old Testament, and he was the lawgiver. The law was given by Moses, but then grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then you have Elijah. Elijah was the greatest reformer. He wiped out all the priest of Baal. And he brought people back to God, and they were crying and screaming, yeah, he is our God. He is our God. Jehovah is our God. And they were, that's Moses and Elijah, they were giving him homage in his very presence. And they were talking with him and looking into the mysteries of redemption. They realized the plan of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the reason Moses was redeemed, the reason that Elijah was redeemed, was because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ yet to take place. And they were talking with him, and they were understanding something of the meaning of the most precious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ and burial and resurrection and ascension simply meant that here was a person whose righteousness met God's righteousness. He had to be God to mind all the mind of God concerning salvation. He had to obey the law. The Lord Jesus obeyed the law, the very law that he gave Moses. Moses himself couldn't keep the law, but the Lord Jesus did. He met God's decree. God had decreed that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to be slain before the foundation of the world. He had to be slain. And he had to defeat the devil, the usurper, Satan. He had to defeat death. He had to defeat sin. And he had to redeem people back to himself. And this is what they were actually talking to him about. And so the Savior, divine majesty, was basically made manifest to eye and ear of Peter. And he's what he's talking about on the Holy Mount. And this great sight was preparing Peter, James, and John, and everyone who heard of what transpired on the mountain. It gave them the energy, prepared them to the awful agony of suffering, even unto death, that would be coming in the lives of these people. And Peter is unshakable. He says, and there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This transfiguration was a prelude. It's a pledge of our Lord's power and his coming again. He was glorified, and yet he will be glorified, and he is glorified now in heaven. The power and coming of his kingdom and his power is going to be displayed here on earth as well as in heaven. That majesty is proof that he was glorified even here on earth on the Mount of Transfiguration before them. And he is yet to be, will be glorified again. Of course, he is highly exalted and glorified even now as he prayed, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And that prayer is answered. And this was a confirmation of it to the apostles. The power, the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, and then, of course, the abiding power and majesty and glory that is to follow. So this experience changed Peter's character. Changed his character completely, and it enabled him to seal his own testimony with his own blood. Death was no more a threat to Peter. He could face it for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he is ready. And as I think about it, like Peter, let us have ourselves no rest until we come to the certainty about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. fully God, fully man, our Lord. Be certain that he is from everlasting to everlasting. Be certain that he took upon him flesh, yet perfect. He was conceived of a virgin, sinless, completely sinless, sin apart. And yet he was made like unto his brethren with flesh and blood, and he died for our sins. So he is the Savior of sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the satisfaction of human need. We have a need for a God who cares, who has died for us, because we are cursed in ourselves. As Brother Jaywin indicated to us this morning, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have been cursed. We have transgressed God's law. We need a Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one, the Savior of sinners. He is the satisfaction. And Peter is encouraging us to be cleaving to him as Christians, having been saved, having received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. He wants us to cleave to him and to be living for him and having him live in us in every compartment of our heart, wide open for the Lord Jesus Christ to dwell in and to occupy. And of course, giving joyous service to him, whether it's cold or whether it's hard, even if it could mean death, like it did Peter. He could care less anymore because of the Christ he loved. Because I hope we love that Christ too. And then, of course, death itself would not be dreaded. It's hard to say this, but when a Christian like Peter, like James and John, like us, you know, I often wonder myself, you know, well, if I were Peter, if I were James, and I know that, well, Peter in jail, he thinks the next day he's going to be beheaded, and James was, what would I be doing? And then, as I read the word, it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, if God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then if death is for me, God is with me, I know. And if God is with me, he's going to see me through. And it's going to be for my own good if God allows me to go through death. So here, death is no longer dreaded, because we see him waiting for us. The Lord says, come to me. Here was Stephen. And they're just stoning him to death, and all of a sudden he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is not only ready to go, but then he is asking forgiveness for these people who are killing him. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I'm ready like Peter, like Stephen, like James. But yet that's what Peter is encouraging us to do. So that is his testimony, what he has seen and what he has heard. Now, the next thing Peter wants us to understand before he introduces us to all these heresies that were coming in and the types of things that we should watch for, the next we next hear about the confirmation given by the vision on the mount to the prophetic word. Prophetic word. Here in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereto you do well if you take heed. Now, the King James Version is a correct version. I agree with that version if we really understand how to interpret it. The real rendering is, if we have the prophetic word firmer, in other words, be, because of what Peter saw and heard from God the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son," he was confirming the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his qualifications as everything else. He says, because of that, he says, "And we have the prophetic word now firmer, to which you do well in paying heed." In other words, the prophetic word more sure. What he's saying is that all the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they believed, but now that they have directly heard from God, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," he's saying now that prophetic word that has been given to us, now we have a more sure foundation of it because the Lord God himself said so. And that's what it means. The prophetic word more sure, is made more sure in my mind, Peter says. Oh yeah, he believed it, but now I am more sure than ever before that the prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Elijah, he is Moses. And I'm ready. I don't doubt the word of God. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of God. Yes, a translation. Yes, thank God that very, very competent people translated the Bible to us in our language. It's the word of God. And Peter says, I'm more sure now that it is the word of God. The prophecies of the Old Testament and the New Testament converge on the coming and kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament, we've had such wonderful teachings. You have Daniel and then Song of Solomon, and then you have different names of Jehovah in the Old Testament, as Brother Daniel mentioned, just on and on. The Lord Jesus Christ is a confirmation of all those prophecies. And God himself witnesses, says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You hear him. Hear him. So Peter, he is declaring that the word was firmer in his mind, was confirmed again over and over in his mind, that it is the very, very word of God by what the witnesses were given to behold and to hear, not only to see, but to hear. Three witnesses. And of course, the predictions were absolutely true and reliable, confirming the truth of Christ's second coming and kingdom by a sight which set on the word of God, another seal of confirmation in the minds of Peter and James and John. And they were ready to be martyred. They were all persecuted. All the apostles were persecuted. Most of them were killed. And I was just talking this morning to Gil and Ruth. And let me just say this. Mohammedism. I have studied Mohammedism quite a bit. Mohammed was an illiterate man. He could not read and write. He grew to become a street smart kid, a very evil man. He massacred thousands of people. He raped women. He attacked caravans and confiscated their goods and raped their women and killed their children and their men. And then after his death, his followers went and attacked the Christians and the Jews, and they went in all over that area, as we know, Turkey today, Asia Minor, where the churches were built, the Christian churches. They burned the churches and they turned them into mosques. They killed the Christians. Oh yeah, This happened after the apostles. And it could happen today. And a lot of Christians today, so-called Christians, apostates, they think that, well, we should really team up with the Muslims because, after all, we should create this new religion called Chrislam, Christianity and Islam. Brothers and sisters, it won't work. Not for us. Not for us. It won't work. Christ, preeminent. Preeminent. His kingdom and his glories are never to be taken away. And they did take notice, and they accepted, they confirmed the word of God in themselves, and they were ready to go and die for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the word of God. And Peter wants us to be the same way, to confirm the word of God as the word of God. As God confirmed it, this is my beloved Son. And Peter says, we heard him. We heard God. That's his word. And we accept his Son. I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to complete this chapter 1 next week. It's very, very precious, and I can't go very fast through this chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, of course, we begin to talk about the apostasies and false teaching and all that creep in the churches.